You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my
new series, Parrish.
My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life, you know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
You're talking about some pretty dangerous guys who was there, some gangsters. There were some pretty angry people there. I mean, to lose their money and be disrobed and embarrassed like that. And that wasn't something that was taken too lightly at all.
It was such a nightmare to me. We don't want nobody here to get hurt.
They knew what they was doing.
The biggest hustler in New York, the biggest hustler in L.A., the biggest hustler in Chicago, have an undress, lay on the floor and get robbed.
They made threats against our family. They were going to kill me, my little sister. They were going to kill my mom.
That attitude at that time was that somewhere one day, they would pay.
They said, fuck the man. These guys are going to die.
From iHeartRadio and Doghouse Pictures, this is Fight Night. I'm Jeff Keating. Chicken Man's world was turned upside down. The party that was supposed to set him up for good was over. And now he was living a nightmare. He knew that even if he survived the masked gunmen who forced him to undress and lie on the basement floor, that the gangsters who entrusted him to host this party now have him on their minds. As the crowds continued to swell, the scene became too much for the robbers to handle. Here I am with James Martin, the owner of the house where the robbery went down.
So, James Gordon is now downstairs with everybody else, and the crowds are starting to increase in size as they are coming to the front door. And what happens is a large group, James, comes up to the house. They obviously see the curtains drawn, they hear the music, but because there's so many of them now, one of the men or women in the back of the group sees when the door opens a gun and yells, "It's a robbery," or "He's got a gun."
Well, I would think that the neighbors would have reported it.
We've got a cement walkway with grass on both sides leading up to the house. We've got a iron fence that is about 2 to 3 feet high with a big drop off towards the driveway, which means that you can't really jump or go to the right of the house if you're trying to escape. And they run next door to the left here. And from what I heard, they start banging on the door loudly and eventually get somebody inside to call the police. We've got the people down there on Handy Drive with the walkie-talkies. Because of the rise of the street, I don't think that they can see people in this yard right here. They can't see them rushing next door to call the police.
Here's Chicken Man and JD discussing what happened when the partygoers approaching the house saw the masked gunman at the front door.
People from watching the water girl run next door.
and one run across the street, one or two, or whatever, because there was a lot of them.
They called it off. They said, this is it. Now, you in there already.
I was in there. Said, I heard what they were saying on the walkie-talkie.
Yeah, oh, I forgot. They bought the walkie-talkies.
And the guy said, listen, we got to get out of here. Ain't nobody got hurt. Nobody want to get killed. And the man on the outside, I hear the man on the outside, y'all better come on out of there. Y'all better come on out of there. Y'all better come on out of there.
Okay.
So they're making everybody stay down, and they're gathering the acorns, whatever.
And if the situation wasn't bad enough, they got even worse when the robbers decided to take hostages. Here's Chicken Man quoting what the robbers said to the victims lying on the basement floor.
Just stay where you are. We're going out of here. We're going to take two or three of these women with us, and we'll let them go. We don't want to hurt nobody, just the robber talk. Mm-hmm. We're not going to bother them or nothing. We're going to protect ourselves. And that's the way they split. One of them was a girlfriend of mine who lived in the house.
Can you tell her name?
Barbara.
Here I am with James, trying to figure out how the robbers made their escape with the hostages.
That's where some of the robbers took off.
Okay.
Some of the robbers took off. Maybe the front. This is what I really don't know.
And that's the reason why they would have to have Barbara with them, because she'd have to have the key to the back door in order to get out.
Unless they made her already unlock it earlier in the evening, which I'm thinking they do, that they know that they've got to get access to that back door.
The reason I'm thinking that they took Barbara with them would be to unlock the back door. So they probably took her down the steps and, she unlocked the door and they just took her with them.
My thought is because they had the getaway driver about four blocks down, that they walkie-talk to him saying, hey, this thing is over. We got to get out of here. They zoom up here, maybe circle around in the cul-de-sac or whatever. They jump in the car and then go from there.
I described to James the characters who were assigned to greet the partygoers at the front door. Specifically, the ruthless leader and main muscle in charge of the robbery crew, Fast Eddie Parker.
Fast Eddie Parker would have been one of the gunmen at the front door, holding a .357 with a silencer. The other gunman would have been McKinley Rogers, holding a sawed-off shotgun. These guys grew up in Brunswick, Georgia, and ended up in New York as hustlers working together. Fast Eddie became the enforcer for Richard Wheeler, a.k.a. Cadillac Richie. One of Cadillac Richie's girlfriends, Jackie, described Fast Eddie as a terrible man. He was about 36 years old, he wore a short-brimmed hat, and he always carried around a black bag. When George Plimpton, who wrote Shadowbox, asked Jackie if she ever looked in that black bag, she said, God, no. God, no. Oh, Lord, there could have been a head in that bag.
So these are like real gangsters that I see in the movies now. That doesn't even sound real. That actually happened.
These were tough men with serious violent acts in their pasts. They had spent years doing stick-up robberies in New York, and now they were in the middle of the biggest heist of their lives. Here's JD with Chicken Man, guessing what the robbers did when the party became overcrowded and too much to handle.
Then they started to leave. They left. Now, you may know more about this than I. They left.
Okay, but see... What? Go ahead, though. Let me get
okay, they left. I'm thinking that when they left, the last people who left the party, last robber who left, must have been Bucky Brown and that gal who's taking the shit off women, okay?
Here I am with James as we retrace the steps of JD's conjecture.
Bucky Brown and Lillian Dabney were downstairs making their escape through the basement door. It's important to understand, James, we know that Frank Moten probably had a bodyguard waiting in a car on Old No and could have seen anybody coming out this back door and going through the backyard to that street. So we're walking into the backyard of the house now and going to retrace the steps of some of the robbers as they're doing their getaway.
So it was all of this was open anyway. There was no fence on this back end. So they were definitely able to go through the backyard to get to the back street of Oh No in order to get away, I'm assuming then.
James, that's a very good assumption. You've got a clear shot of Old No. How far do you think that is? Maybe 30, 40 yards to the house? And then another 30, 40 yards. So, I mean, we're talking about one football field maybe from the back of the house to Old No, where there would have been another car. Somehow, as the robber's leaving with this third woman, he sees that there is a getaway car, and he drops the girl and the gun and the satchel. He tells the woman, "Hey, baby, I got to get out of here. I got to drop you now and grab some leather." Something to that effect. But what's important to understand is that he basically has to leave her and the satchel and the shotgun at the scene of the robbery. And that's eventually what leads the police to their first clue.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
The robbers had made their escape and taken two hostages with them, Barbara Smith and another lady from New York. Chicken Man and all the other hustlers and gangsters were half naked and trying to figure out what the hell just happened. And they were about to deal with the police, who were going to start asking them a bunch of questions. Here's JD and Chicken Man explaining to me why none of the victims wanted to report the robbery.
They were all hustlers. Everybody's waiting to hear about them. The FBI and the IRS would have gone crazy.
That's right.
They put them all in jail. And local DAs would have put them in jail. Everybody wanted them.
They knew what they was doing. They robbed it because they know if that don't happen, if the people don't call the police because of the robbery, and they come in and rob everybody and leave, ain't none of us gonna call the police. It was such a nightmare to me. Because, the worst thing could have happened has already happened.
The worst thing that could have happened has already happened. That's what Chicken Man told me when I interviewed him in 2004. Now, if you're Chicken Man right now, your head is spinning. You're thinking, what am I going to do? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? What the hell just happened? And what are Frank Moten and all these hustlers thinking just went down? Because if I'm Chicken Man, I'm thinking that they're thinking that I did it. Here's Chicken Man describing the scene in the basement once the robbers were gone.
See, what they did, they took everybody's pocketbook and shredded it, like, mm-hmm.
They dumped it.
And looked through all the compartments. So everybody's driver license was all in the middle of the floor among all the other cars and all this thing here. Yeah. I mean, they just threw them all in the pocket. Yeah.
Well, that's when everybody got a chance to see who was really there, because otherwise, when you came in, they put your face down to the floor, so you didn't know. All you knew was some more people on the other side of you. You didn't know who they were.
They made the girls lay on the floor too, huh?
Everybody. They had about 8 chairs on a little makeshift bar we had. Mm-hmm. They had the girls sitting up on the bar.
All the girls or some of them?
Just to fill up the stool.
Oh, yeah.
8 or 10 girls, but everybody else was on the floor. That's when I realized that some of the people who were there, well, I knew them from different places, New York or what have you, because they did the inviting. I didn't know inviting.
At some point after the robbers left, I'm guessing Chicken Man and Frank Moten must have exchanged words. This is a quote from The Black Godfather in George Plimpton's book, Shadow Box. We couldn't hear the radios no more. People slowly got up and looked around. Then they tried to find their clothing. It lay there in a tall pile like a rummage sale, and people were calling out, I got so-and-so's credit cards, but I don't remember much laughing. I recall that Chicken Man was wearing a pair of long underwear, and someone came up and said that if he was wearing long underwear, he must have known he was going to spend the night lying on the cellar floor. He was prepared, and man, that meant he was implicated. Chicken Man was looking guilty. The newspapers would report the claim that Chicken Man was wearing long johns. It could be the second most damning evidence that Chicken Man was involved in this caper. The first was that he owned the house where the party took place. Here's Chicken Man and JD reflecting on the mistake the robbers had made.
Their attitude at that time was, they weren't worried about the robbers.
They worried about the embarrassment.
They didn't, nothing else made them dudes mad. Their money didn't mean much.
They didn't give shit about that money, boy.
It's making a woman undress.
Boy, they didn't give shit about the money. They didn't give a damn. But they said, fuck the money.
The robbers fled the party house on Handy Drive with over $1 million in cash and jewelry and took 3 hostages with them. Dozens and dozens of people had been robbed, and they were in shock. But as they began putting their clothes back on and rummaging through the pile of belongings on the floor, they realized they had no way to leave. Their car keys were gone. Here's the conversation between Chicken Man and JD describing when the cops first arrived on the scene.
So when the police come, I'm dazed. They took car keys. See, the man from Acme come out there and stayed out there half a day making keys, because they took all the car keys.
But when the police come, they didn't know nobody, bro. They saw me. They said, oh, Chicken, what you doing here? This your house?
Now, when I look up, I see Lieutenant Bird, because the people trying to find a driver's license, the women draws over here. So when the police come, so the nigga asking no questions. They said, the robber went that way.
They went there about nothing.
Yeah, and I got to get my ass out of here. These motherfuckers, this and that. Go catch the robber. If you find him, then come back. Well, no, I don't know that. So when the man run into me, he take a man. And so he started asking me questions. So I said, listen, man, the robbery that happened, the people got the money, the people come in and stuck all of us up. So I'm telling them what the New Yorkers tell them. Don't ask me nothing. Mm-hmm. The robber went that way. Catch the robber.
My understanding after it was over with and talking to Frank, I found out that the people was from everywhere. I was always sure of that. But if, after they got themselves covered, then they began to leave.
Everybody split.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralask brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralask pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
As the hustlers and gangsters tried to find transportation to leave Chicken Man's house, he was still in shock and worried sick about Barbara and the other lady taken hostage.
They took him up there on Northside and Bankhead, and Barbara said, the guy said, I said, baby, you sure was nice looking. I'll buy any time. I just carry you on with me. And give him, he said, well, how are we going to get back? And they give him $20 or something to catch a cab to come back to the house.
They let them go. That's
they
right.
Took him up there.
It's unbelievable that Barbara and her friend would be able to find a cab at around 3 in the morning on a dark, deserted street. Some reports say they picked up a ride from some late-night partiers still celebrating Ali's victory. In any case, Barbara and her friend made their way back to the house on Handy Drive, while Chicken Man watched the gangsters who were robbed gather their clothes and leave.
Some of them were just trying to get to a bus stop or whatever. They wanted to get back to the hotel because all of us was checked in somebody's in a hotel. None of them lived there. So, and we called cabs, and cabs came. Their attitude at that time was that they wasn't worried about the robber. They didn't know the robber had a terrible mistake. And somewhere one day, they would pay.
Of a guy, the biggest hustler in New York, or the biggest hustler in L.A., or the biggest hustler in Chicago, having undressed, lay on the floor and get robbed. I mean, the rest of his life he'll spend trying to find who did that, and he gonna kill him.
Yeah. That's what was told me.
Most obvious thing in the world was these guys are gonna die.
After the robbers left and the police came to the house, we went to a hotel. Because I was bummed, I was out of it.
The next morning, while Chicken Man was at a hotel, sleeping off the horrors of the night before. One of the hustlers who got robbed was in front of his house, being interviewed by WSB.
Where the hammer is at? And this fella walked up to me and stuck the shot, said, stick your hands up. I said, man, stop jabbing. And hit him like this. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm not jabbing, buddy. And he pushed me around the corner. When he pushed me around the corner, and he told me to get up against the wall, and said, shotgun to my head, and said, I'm not, he said, this not no stage joke. I'm not jabbing. I'm for real. And when he said that, I was ready to punch him in his nose. And plus, I just had saw the fight. And by that time, two or three more fellas came out with shotguns and said, he's not jabbing.
When Chicken Man finally gets up and leaves the hotel, he stops off and gets a newspaper. He was surprised to see his face on the cover. This is the same article my father showed me at the Decatur Library almost 20 years ago.
And when I came out the hotel the next morning, my picture's on the front page of the paper, talking about the robbery, and they put a cash value or amount on the robbery. So I called his lawyer, but it made newswire newspaper all over. So I see my picture on the paper, and the people robbed us, and we ain't robbed, you know. But I knew what that meant. When it was like I had robbed the people. It's like I had set it up.
Here is a piece from the Atlanta Journal on October 27, 1970, which describes the estimated take from the robbery. According to Lieutenant Byrd, one of the first detectives that showed up at the heist, one of the gunmen threatened the guest with this warning, and I quote, "If you raise your head, I will blow it off." End quote. From the same article, and I quote, "One of the guests informed me that his loss in jewelry alone was about $20,000. There's really no way to set the exact loss, since the majority of the victims refused to file official complaints. However, several said it would be $100,000 and $200,000 or possibly more." End quote. The total haul from the robbery would increase over the next few weeks. We know the partygoers did not want to talk to the police, because that would lead directly to the IRS and FBI asking questions. We also know that Chicken Man was the key suspect in the robbery. And the next day, J.D. Hudson was assigned to the case by the chief of police, Herbert E. Jenkins.
And the chief said, Lieutenant Hudson is running this damn thing. He spoke directly to me. And Chief Chapin and I found out about that, and he never liked me since then, quite frankly. At that time, the chief detective was superintendent detective. There.
Okay.
And I was detective lieutenant.
And you were detective lieutenant. And so was he supposed to have...
He was my boss.
He was your boss.
Yeah.
But now, boom, his boss is telling him that you're in charge of the investigation.
Yeah, and I report to him.
And you report to the chief. And what was the chief's name back then?
Herbert E. Jenkins.
The chief called me in and told me he wanted me to handle the case. Because none of the hustlers would talk to the police, would not talk to the robbery detective, would talk to anybody. And so I started the investigation.
When the robbery happened, he took charge.
Chief of Police Herbert E. Jenkins gave J.D. Hudson a partner, Lieutenant Joe Amos. Amos was working international security at the time, but they were both pulled off their regular assignments and worked this robbery case together for the next several weeks.
I remember one day I was coming down Martin Luther King, and it was shortly after the robbery, so I was visible when the robbery happened. I wouldn't get out of sight for 5 minutes because I didn't want people to think I was going to count the money. And him and Amos was together, his partner, turn around on the siren, and he wanted me to come down to the station and identify some things. I said, J.D., I don't want nothing to do with that. Y'all got them, do what you can with them, but they done robbed me. I don't even want to see the robbers no more.
Well, you know, what I wanted to talk to you to see, you know, could you help us figure out who the robbers were?
Yeah.
You know, because I knew that, I don't know whether Joe was convinced or not, but I was convinced that you, were not involved because, like I said, I was able to place you at the fight.
Yeah.
J.D. Hudson knew Chicken Man was at the fight, so he assumes he had nothing to do with the robbery. How about people who were at the party? Did he know any of them? Here's J.D. Hudson and Chicken Man talking about that.
I was never really told who all was there, because quite frankly, I didn't want to know.
Yeah.
I couldn't know who was there and what they did, and also find out what happened.
Yeah.
Because if I had started trying to find out who these people were and what their, you know, what they did in life, they wouldn't have told me a damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only reason people ever talked to, that we got people to talk to us, is because the local hustlers told them that we were people that we talked to, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they could trust us.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had to decide whether you wanted to be a vice squad detective, a racket detective, or investigator of a robbery.
Yeah.
My mission was to investigate a robbery.
Yeah.
In talking to some of the hustlers, they told the guys who I was, all about me, and that they could talk to me, because I didn't care what they did, wherever they were, came from, in their homes. One thing I was concerned about, we didn't want nobody killed in Atlanta. That's what the chief's instruction was, don't get nobody killed in Atlanta, anybody else killed.
The next few days after the robbery, Chicken Man was trying to stay alive and clear his name with the press, the police, and the gangsters that he assumed were trying to have him killed. And he was most concerned about his family's safety. Here's Gordon Williams Jr. talking about the threats against their lives.
People thought he was responsible. Everybody thought my dad set that party up. I mean, it came out on the news, it came out everywhere, that Chicken Man had set everybody up. You're talking about some pretty dangerous guys who was there, some gangsters. So they made threats against our family. We had threats about they were going to blow our house up. They were going to kill me, my little sister. They were going to kill my mom. You know, they were going to kill us because my dad had taken their money.
Fight Night is a joint production from iHeartRadio, Will Packer Media, and Doghouse Pictures in association with Psychopia Pictures. Produced and hosted by Jeff Keating. Executive producers are Will Packer, James Lopez, Kenny Burns, Dan Bush, Lars Jacobson, and Noel Brown. Supervising producer is Taylor Chicoine. Story editors are Noel Brown and Dan Bush. Written by Jeff Keating and Jim Roberts. Edited by Matt Owen. Mixing and sound design by Jeremiah Kulani Prescott. Music written and performed by the Diamond Street Players. Additional music by Ben Lovett. Audio archives courtesy of WSB News, Film, and Videotape Collection, Brown Media Archives, University of Georgia Libraries. Special thanks to Dr. Maurice Hobson and David Davis.
Fight Night is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.